All right. So whoever's listening to this recording, if you want me to tell you which Sidur to buy, I forgot to record that part. Call me and I'll fill you in. Okay. So let's talk about the general structure of the Jewish prayer service. I'm going to pin myself so that it works. It's better for the recording. But I want to see you guys, so I'm going to look at the gallery. Okay, perfect. So there's basically, on a normal, average, regular weekday, there are three prayer services in the day. Is this familiar to either of you? Have you heard about this at all yet?
Right.
Okay, so the morning service, it's actually, we should start with the evening, because really that's when the Jewish day begins at night, right? When the sun sets, that's when the Jewish day begins, which is why Shabbat starts Friday night and it ends Saturday night. The first prayer service of the day from a Jewish law perspective is called Mariv or Arvit, which is the nighttime prayer service. It's actually quite short. And typically women are not required to pray that one. And it is the least strict requirement for men. They're still required to do that one, but it is of all of them the least sort of stringent one in terms of their requirements. Then we go to bed, we wake up in the morning, and we have the morning prayer service, which is the longest prayer service of the day. It's sort of meant to like start you off with your day on the right foot. So that's why we spend more time praying in the morning. And it gives us the opportunity to really, like, if you use it properly, which is a big if, like, I'm a person who prays every day, and I have been for, I don't know what, 2004, 16 years, but I definitely don't use it the way I should. But if you're having a good day and you're feeling focused and you're really into it and you get something out of it, it can give you the opportunity to sort of just put yourself in the right frame of mind to go into your day with, where are my values? What's important to me? Who runs the world? And, you know, why am I here? And what is my day supposed to be about? That's the goal of the morning service. Now, that's not all we talk about in the morning service, but the morning service is intended to help us start our day off focusing on Hashem, focusing on our mission in this world of making it a better place. And whatever we do with our lives day to day, right? Like, you could be a gardener, you could be a garbage collector, you could be a surgeon, like, you can still make the world a better place. It's not about like exactly what you do, but it's about taking and using your time on this earth in a positive way. If you can start your day every day mindfully thinking about that, that's a great way to sort of go into your day. So that's sort of like, I would say, the goal or mission of the morning prayer service, which I think is why it's the longest one. And then in the afternoon before sunset, we have Mincha, which is the afternoon prayer service. Sorry, let's go back a second. The morning one is called Shacharit. You may have noticed, depending who you speak to, some people call it Shacharit and some people call it Shacharis, just like how some people say Shabbat or Shabbos, or I'm from Toronto, we say Shabbos. It's just a difference between the Ashkenazi, which is like sort of the European Jewish background, versus the Sephardic, which is like the Spanish and more Arab countries. Jews who came from there pronounced the letter tough as a t, and Jews who came from Europe pronounced the letter tough as a s. So when you hear people speaking, you may hear the same word and it sounds really familiar, but it's not being said the same way. So some people say Shabbat and some people say Shabbos. It's the same word in Hebrew. It's written the exact same way. It's just the pronunciation is different because of their sort of tradition of how they were taught Hebrew. I would say Shabbos is the one that's like, doesn't really follow that rule, because even people who, when they pray and when they read Hebrew and whatever, always do so with a Sephardic pronunciation, which is the T sound, they'll still say good Shabbos, because that's just like so common in the community. It's just like such a normal thing to say that even if they always say everything else with a T, they might still say good Shabbos, or only if somebody says it to them, they'll say it back. Some people are like Shabbat Shalom, like that's how they say it because they're Sephardic and they want to make sure everyone knows there's no difference. It's all good. We love everyone no matter how they pronounce their words. But sometimes it can be confusing for people because they don't even realize that the same Hebrew word is being said. It's just being pronounced completely differently. So Shacharis and Shacharit are actually the exact same word. And in your Sidur, they usually start with the Shacharit service. So if you look like right at the beginning, I know that in the art scroll, one of the nice things they have is right here at the very top, it tells you where you're up to, like which section of the prayer book it is. I don't know if that Spanish Siddur has any like headings at the top, but if you go to the very first page of prayers, it'll probably say something about morning service or something like that. And in the Hebrew, it probably says like either Tfilat Shacharit, which means morning prayer, or something along those lines. So that's what the morning prayer is called. If people say I'm going to Shacharis, it means they're going to the morning prayer service at Shul. Then the afternoon is called Mincha. And that is usually done in between like the middle of the day, which has, depending on the time of year and what time the sun rises and what time the sun sets, the exact time of day when you're allowed to start praying changes a little bit, but let's call it like 1 p.m. for the sake of argument right now, until the sun sets. So at this time of year, sunset is at about 5:30 in Florida. If you go to New York for the weekend, it's going to be like almost an hour earlier. Like it's a completely different thing depending where you are. So if you ever go traveling, you need to make sure you look up, and there's websites where you can literally just go in and put in the name of the city you're in, and it'll show you all the times you need to know, what time Shabbat is, what time sunset is. But sunset is very relevant to us, not just on Fridays, but throughout the week. If you want to pray mincha, you want to say your mincha prayer, you have to do it before the sun sets. So that's sort of the timing for the afternoon prayer. We will talk about times a little bit more a little later on, and I'll even pull up one of the websites and show it to you and help you feel familiar with it. It is a little overwhelming because there's a ton of details and little halachic times that don't apply to us, especially as women. We are not as time bound by certain times. But for example, men have a time in the morning by which they have to say Shema, which is like one of the most important prayers we say. And it varies each day only by a minute each day, like from one day to the next, but throughout the year it can vary quite a bit depending when the clocks are changed and based on the basic way they calculate is they say what time was sunrise and what time is sunset, and they take that amount of time and they divide it by 12. So we have what we call halachic hours, which are sometimes an hour, because if it happens to be that sunset and sunrise are 12 hours apart from each other at certain times of year, then when they take the daylight hours and divide them in half, then a halachic hour will be about 60 minutes. But at other times of year, when sunrise, I think sunrise now is like 6:30, 6:45, something like that, and sunset is at 5:30. So when you take those 11 hours and you divide them by 12, each hour is going to be only like 3/4 of an hour or whatever it is. I'm really bad at math, so don't take my word for those amounts, but you get the idea. So when they say you have to finish saying Shema by the third halachic hour of the day, that's the halacha. I might even be saying the wrong amount. But so if sunrise is at 6:30, so you have to figure out how many minutes is a halachic hour today? And then times three, that's the third halachic hour of the day. So nobody nowadays is sitting there figuring that out. They go to myzmanim.com, which zmanim means halachic times, and they type in Hollywood, Florida, and it tells them say Shema by 9:57 a.m. And they're like, okay, good. They don't have to look it up. They don't have to figure it out. They just type it in. The shul calendar, if you ever see the shul announcements, often lists these times. That's where these times all come from. We will speak more in detail about times of prayers and all that kind of stuff. But for now, Shacharit generally has to be done in the morning. Mincha has to be done in the afternoon before sunset. And Mariv or Arvit, depending how you say that one, is done usually after the stars are out. But technically, it's allowed to be done after sunset. So what most synagogues do is have three services a day, but only two times that you come to synagogue: in the morning, and then in the late afternoon, right before sunset, they'll have mincha at the last minute, maybe 20 minutes before sunset, 15 minutes before sunset. They'll finish praying. The rabbi will speak for 5-10 minutes, give a little quick class, and then they'll have the night service. And you're allowed to do that because the sun has now set. So according to some opinions, even though the stars are not yet out, it's still considered nighttime. And that way, everybody doesn't have to come to shul three times a day. They only have to come two times a day. So it's still three separate prayer services, but for people, it feels like two prayer services. Any questions? Okay. So those are sort of our three main prayer services. What we're going to mostly focus on in this class is the morning service. And that's what I suggest you, as you start learning how to pray and get into it, I suggest you start off like with that. The mincha service, once you know the morning service, mincha is just the same main prayer from the morning that we do again in the afternoon. So it's not like you have to learn a whole other thing. You just repeat it again. So once you feel good about it, you'll be able to do it in the afternoon too. If you're really ambitious and really spiritual and you really want to pray again, you can always pray at night. It's not a problem to do it, but it's not a requirement of you. And I very, very strongly urge you not to jump in and start just because I teach you something doesn't mean you have to start saying it the next day. If you try to do everything we talk about all at once, you are going to lose your mind and like be so overwhelmed by the amount of time that it takes and let alone keeping kosher and keeping Shabbat and everything else you have going on that you're trying to figure out and get into. Baby steps are so key here, not because we want to slow you down, but because we want it to work for you. And if you do too much at once, it can be just so overwhelming and you'll get to the point where you're just like, this is too much. I can't handle it. And we don't want that. We want it to be comfortable and we want it to be doable. So same thing goes for the prayers. We will learn them at the pace we learn them at, but that doesn't mean that just because we learned it, you need to start saying that prayer the next day. At a certain point, once I've taught you certain things, I'll go into, you know, if you're only praying for 20 minutes today, here's what you should say. Say this, and then skip to this prayer, and then skip to this prayer. And, you know, those are the most important ones. If you have extra time, you should add this prayer and add this prayer. And I'll get into all of that. I can't give you those instructions at the outset because we haven't learned any of them yet. But eventually we'll be able to have those conversations and you'll be able to feel more equipped. Like if it's a really busy morning and you really have to get to an appointment or something and you're not able to pray the way you usually would, you'll know what are the most important things that you have to say and what are the things that it's okay to skip. But in the beginning, we're just going to start off small, get into the habit of saying something every morning so that you get used to that concept and it becomes comfortable for you and you feel really good about that one. And then we'll move on to the next one. This is not, you know, a sprint. We don't want you to like open up the Siddur tomorrow and read all whatever 100 pages of the morning service, which sounds like a lot, but the truth is because of the English Hebrew, it's really 50 pages. So that's sort of my like introduction. Then once we get into the morning prayer service, there are sections of the morning prayer service. Okay. So the first section and what we're going to start learning when we get into it next week, the first section is called, the morning blessings. Morning blessings is essentially what it sounds like, right? Morning blessings. Blessings we say when we wake up. And there's sort of three or four parts of that, but those are sort of where I would suggest you start off with trying to start saying them. So if we can try to find them in your books, I really encourage you over the next week until we next meet to try to familiarize yourself with them and start reading them, not in Hebrew. Read them in English or Spanish, whatever is good for you, so you can start to get comfortable with the words so that when we start to speak to them and speak about them in a little more depth next week and what they mean, you'll already have seen them, see what they mean, like any questions or thoughts or interesting things you notice, we can talk about that. We're not going to do a ton of like commentary on the prayers in this class. This is much more of a sort of like, here's what to do and when to do it and how to do it, and a little bit of why we do it. But I always try to throw in a little bit of the meaning because I think that makes it more meaningful. But the morning blessings generally start off with some introductory sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like extra stuff. And then they have actual blessings. A Hebrew in Judaism, when you say a blessing, that's an actual like halachic or legal concept. It's not just like bless you. It's you actually say the words Baruch, which means blessed, Ata, are you, Hashem, which is like the name we use for God when we don't want to say his name actually. When we start learning it, I will teach you how to say it properly. I'm not just going to say Hashem so that you really learn it. But that anytime we say a blessing, on anything, which you may have learned about in the context of food, you may have read about that, or when you see somebody lighting the Hanukkah candles or anything like that, they are saying a blessing. There's different types of blessings. Some blessings are blessings of praise. If you see a rainbow, there's a blessing to say. If you see the ocean for the first time in a long time, there's a blessing to say. Those are blessings of praise. We also say blessings on our food. Those are sort of blessings of gratitude, right? That Hashem gave us this food to eat. We say a blessing on the food before we eat it. We say another blessing on the food after we ate it. Those are all blessings. So we also say blessings on our morning routine, on washing our hands, on the actual original way that the the Talmud explains it is that there's a list of 15 morning blessings that we're going to say that like we used to, nowadays we get dressed and then we say them, but they used to say one as they were getting out of bed, another as they put on their shoes, another as they stood up. Like it was sort of like, as you went through your morning routine, you were blessing God for each step of the routine, which is an amazingly powerful thing to think about that, you know, we just get out of bed in the morning and we go about our morning. We don't necessarily stop and think like, wow, thank God that I'm sitting up right now. Oh, thank God that I can stand. Oh, thank God that I can walk to the toilet. Oh, thank, right? Like we just do it. But that's really what the idea is, that these blessings are supposed to be recognizing that every moment is a gift. And that, you know, like my husband was just telling me, he woke up this morning with like a pain in his neck. He must've slept funny and his neck's been bothering him all day. So like this morning, you probably appreciate a little more like, wow, it's nice that most mornings you wake up feeling good. But when you wake up not feeling so good, you realize that all the days you did wake up feeling good were actually a blessing that you didn't even realize was there, right? We take it for granted. So that's sort of what the morning blessings are about. The very first thing we say, mine is on page 2. It's like literally the very first thing in my siddur. It's called Mode Ani. If I don't know what page it's going to be on for you, but try looking at like the first page of the prayers. It should be there. Mode Ani. In English, it says, my translation says, I gratefully thank you. This is what you say when you're still lying in bed. Have either of you learned this with the people you're learning with? No. Okay, good. It's fine.
I've heard it. But
you've heard of it. Okay. So Mode Ani is a prayer that you're supposed to say before you even get out of bed. So did you find it?
I think it's this one.
Okay, hold it up. Let me see. Yeah, that's it. You got it. I'm looking at the Spanish, but I can see it says Mode. That's for sure the right one. Okay, perfect. Okay, so that is the very first prayer of the day. We're going to talk about that for 5 minutes, and then we're going to wrap up for tonight. And that's what I think you should really focus on trying to say every day. You can either write it out or photocopy it or print it out in English or Spanish, not in Hebrew, and put it next to your bed so that you see it in the morning so that you can remember to say it. Let's read about what it means. It's the art scroll, the fine print says, a Jew should wake up with gratitude to God for having restored his faculties and with a lion-like resolve, meaning like jump out of bed, to serve his creator. Before getting off the bed or commencing any other conversation or activity, he declares his gratitude. So that's their introduction there. What are they saying? Before you do anything else, you should acknowledge, I woke up today. In Judaism, we have an idea that every night while we're sleeping, a portion of our soul goes like up to heaven, and Hashem decides to give us back our soul when we wake up in the morning. And every day, you know, we don't like to think about it this way, but every day, the fact that we woke up today is a gift from Hashem. It's entirely possible, God forbid, that we may not wake up tomorrow, right? So every morning when we wake up, we're meant, this prayer is there to help us acknowledge and recognize, like, thank God I'm alive. Like, look, it's morning. I woke up. And that's sort of the purpose of the prayer. So what it means, Mode Ani, I thank you, or I acknowledge, Lefanecha, before you, Melech Chai V'Kayam. This is my translation, not the translation Art Scroll gave, but follow along in your English, see how it goes, or in Spanish. Melech Chai V'Kayam. Melech means king, who is alive and always existing. Shehecha Zarta, that you have returned. Bi Nishmati, inside me, my soul. You've returned my soul inside of me. Bechemla, with compassion. And then it says, Rabba Emunatecha, how great is your faith? Okay, so that's what it means. It's very short. It only takes 10 seconds to say, but it's super powerful. So let's just break it down a little bit, okay? So first of all, we're acknowledging right away, Hashem is the king of the universe. He's in charge. And I'm like sort of bowing down to you. Mode Ani means I am thankful, but it also means I acknowledge. The same root of this word can mean both to be thankful and to acknowledge, which makes sense because when you thank someone for making you dinner, you're acknowledging their hard work for making you dinner, right? So it's the same idea. Thanking someone is acknowledging what they've done for you. So when we start off saying, I acknowledge you, Hashem, or I thank you, Hashem, we're really saying both things. We're saying, I acknowledge that you are the ruler. I acknowledge that you're in charge. You run the world. I'm also thanking you because you gave me this other day. You could kind of read it both ways. Melech Chai V'Kayam, right? This king who is like always existing. He's always eternal. I might not be eternal. I might not wake up tomorrow, God forbid, but Hashem will always exist. God will always be there. that you have returned my soul into me with compassion, right? You, which is this idea we talked about, that our soul leaves us at when we sleep at night and then it comes back into us. Exactly what that means on like a spiritual level is hard to understand. I'm not a super spiritual person. I sometimes struggle with that a little bit in terms of really understanding what that means. But this idea that our soul leaves us and comes back is definitely part of Jewish tradition. I also struggle with it because my kids wake me up like multiple times a night. So I always feel like my neshama.
I froze.
Valeria, can you see me?
Yes.
Yeah, Ruby, I think it might be your connection. You're frozen on my computer too. Try turning off your camera and turning it back on and see if it reconnects you. Oh, there you are. Is it working now? Good?
I'm back. Yeah.
Yay. Okay, good. So this idea of our soul leaving us, I was just saying, like, when my kids wake me up like 100 times a night, I don't really feel like my neshama was missing, because like I seem to be able to wake up at any moment because they're always visiting me. We have this idea that Hashem gave it back to us. And then this end, Rabba Emunatecha, abundant is your faithfulness, is that's what it says in the English here. That translation kind of already gives away the idea I'm about to share with you. But most people, when they read this, if they know Hebrew and they translate it, their first thought is to think that it means like, I believe in you, God, right? Like my, like, how great is your faith? What does that mean? God's faith? It must mean, I believe in God. I really believe in you. But that's not what it means. If you take it grammatically, it means God has a lot of faith. So what does that mean? God has faith. Who's God supposed to have faith in? We're supposed to have faith in Hashem. What does that mean? Hashem has faith in us. And this is this message that, why did Hashem give me my soul? Why did he give me my neshama back for another day? It's because he has emuna in me. He has faith in me that I'm going to do something good with it. And that this day is going to have a good purpose, and that I'm supposed to be here and I'm supposed to use it well. And if, again, I do try to say moda'ani almost every day when I wake up. Sometimes I do end up talking to my kids before I remember to say it, because they're the ones who wake me up. But when I say it, I often just say it by habit. But on the odd occasion that I stop and think about what I'm saying, it's an unbelievably powerful way to start off your morning. That you're, before you're even getting out of bed, you're saying, there's a reason I'm here. There's a reason God gave me back my neshama this morning, and he wants me to go out into the world, or maybe not out into the world during COVID. He wants me to stay home, not to spread the virus, but he wants me to do good, right? And he wants me to bring light into this world, whatever that might mean for you. And that can be, you know, in different, in lots of different ways. And the amazing thing about the Torah is that it sees value in everything we do. So even when you just make a blessing on your apple, you're bringing light into the world. And when you go and you give charity, you're bringing light into the world. And when you cook a meal for a person who just had surgery, you're bringing light into the world. There are so many ways that we can do good in Judaism, but not all of them are sort of the classic way that we would expect people to repair the world, in more of like the loving kindness, giving kind of way. Everything we do has the opportunity to elevate the world to a higher spiritual purpose, because we make a blessing on our apple, or we choose to pray for 20 minutes that morning, or we choose, you know, to learn some Torah. Like, that also elevates the world, which is just an amazing, beautiful thing, that you can do so much with your actions, and every day you can have such an impact on the world. And that's really a core part of our belief. And I think in this little sentence, there's so much there to sort of start off your morning. So I think I really encourage you, either take a picture, print it out, write it down, take a picture on your phone. If you wake up and you look at your phone first thing in the morning, or whatever it is, to remind you to say this. And just for this week, that's like your only real homework, is to get into the habit of trying to say this one sentence when you wake up in the morning. If you forget, you can say it 10 minutes later. It still counts. The reason it doesn't have God's name in it is because you haven't yet done anything else that you're supposed to do before you can pray. You haven't yet washed your hands and gotten dressed and all the things that we will talk about, those laws. And it deliberately leaves God's name out. It just says you, but it never says God's name, because you're still in bed. You still haven't done those ritual things you need to do in order to properly pray, but you're allowed to say this sentence because it doesn't involve any of God's name, any forms of his name. So that's sort of my homework to you. And then if you have a chance, just sort of skim through the next 5 to 10 pages, depending how big the font is in your book, and look at these other morning blessings. Some of them are related to the putting on of tefillin, which is not applicable to us. And I know zero about because I've never done it. So we're not going to talk about that or learn about that because we don't need to know about it. It is very fascinating, interesting, like part of Judaism that when you have time, I encourage you to read about and learn about just for the interest's sake. But don't waste your time on it right now when you have so many other things to learn about your own personal Jewish practice. But if you get to the part that has, on mine, it's on page 12, it says morning blessings, and it starts off with like, you should recite this collection of verses when you entered the shul, and then it has some poems, and then it starts off with some actual blessings. You know they're blessings because they always start off with, blessed are you. Those are always going to be blessings. And just don't even say them yet. Don't get into the habit of saying them every day, but just take some time over the next week to just read them over and become familiar with sort of the content of them. There's blessings on learning of Torah, which we say first thing in the morning, but that way all day long, whenever we learn Torah, we've already said a blessing in the morning when we woke up on the learning of Torah, and that covers our Torah learning for the entire day. There's blessings we say on having gone to the bathroom for the first time, and another blessing about Hashem returning our soul to us. And then there's blessings on sort of just basic things that we're thankful to Hashem for that we'll get more into detail, but thanking Him for having created us, thanking Him. There are going to be some things in there that may be hard for you and complicated. We'll talk about those next week. I'm not glossing over them. But just read it over in your language, just so you feel like you've seen it and you're familiar with it. Once you get to this part that starts talking about sacrifices, you don't need to read that part now. We're not going to go that far yet. So just focus on the first. In my book, it's up to page 21. I don't know what it'll be for you, but it's like the very, very beginning section. And then the next section is already called the sacrifices, which we'll only talk about briefly because we don't really need to actually say them. But if it starts talking about quoting from the Bible, the story of Yitzchak and Abraham and Yitzchak being sacrificed, you don't need to read that now. You can skip that. So just go up until that point. And just read the English or the Spanish and just sort of get familiar with it. If you see something that feels weird to you or doesn't make sense to you, make a note of it so we can talk about it. And we'll sort of pick up there. We'll talk more in detail about how to say the blessings and which blessings you should say and all that next time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Any questions? Okay. Okay. Well, you have my number, you have my email. If anything comes up, feel free to reach out to me. And I think for now we're going to stick with Monday nights. Is that okay for everyone else? We're good?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we'll stick with this time for now and just work on the Moda Ani for this week and we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been wonderful.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.